Hello and welcome to the West Beach Challengers podcast. Today I'm coming in to talk about check-ins because there were some really lovely check-ins this week and I wanted to come on and talk about some of the topics that came up in a bit more detail. And that's what's really nice about the podcast. So in a couple of your responses, I've probably said, I'm just going to chat about it on the podcast. And this is the nice thing about coaching. You guys can feedback. You can reflect on how the first couple of weeks has gone on the 6-week reset, and we can kind of set some intentions and move things around and shift them. Because I always want to know about kind of what's holding you back. Because what I want you to achieve over the next 6 weeks is a feeling of autonomy in your body, a feeling that you can take your health, your fitness in any direction that you choose. And I think so frequently, other diets that you might have engaged with are all about kind of outsourcing your autonomy. And you really just kind of have previously been told what to do. You've never really been given this kind of space, this safe space to start exploring, to start getting curious, to start actually unpicking some of the beliefs that you've had. And as your coach, I am here to kind of help you on that journey, because it's not, well, it is actually the quickest way to finding you're happy, but sometimes it can feel like a bit more work. And it's just easier when we just follow somebody else's pattern of movement, training and nourishment and not really take the time to find out what is going to kind of light us up, how we want to be treating ourselves to feel like the best version of yourself possible. And the first thing I want to chat about is scale weight. And I think it's really interesting. And I think for so many of us, we've only ever had this metric of measuring ourselves as a way to decide whether we are moving our health and our fitness in the right direction. And I would say, and I know if you're working with me, I do encourage all of you, particularly if you've got a poor relationship with the scales, if you can hand on heart say that standing on the scales does not interfere with your day, it does not derail you, demotivate you, it isn't kind of linked to kind of shaming yourself or hating yourself into change, that you don't kind of have this fixed number in your head that you really, really want to get to, this kind of arbitrary number that you just know deep inside will make you so happy, then by all means, stand on the scales. But I don't think the women that I attract to work with me can probably hand on heart say it. I want you to feel very disassociated with the number on the scales because it isn't a useful metric. And I so often think that we probably spend far too much kind of our precious lives worrying about gaining and losing like the same 3 or 4 pounds in weight. And it's just not a useful thing to be tracking of all the things you could be pouring your energy into, like just having a more fulfilling life, maybe having more energy with like friends, family, like just giving all of that brain space to losing and gaining like the same weight that just does tend to kind of bounce on and off is absolutely pointless. And it's not taking you to a happy place. It's really outsourcing your autonomy to basically a metric that's very changeable. And I know as women, like with hormones, with water retention, depending on whether you're training hard, if you're training hard, you've just had a hard training session, you are going to be heavier because your muscles are going to be obviously more inflamed. It's going to depend on if you've been eating more salty foods to whether you are retaining more water. Maybe you had quite a carb heavy meal, in which case you're going to be retaining more water. Or equally, you might look like you've lost weight, which isn't fat. And I think that's the other thing to remember. Just because your scale weight's going up and down, it doesn't mean that your body fat is actually changing. So you're not measuring body fat loss. You're just measuring whether you are heavier in your total mass. So that includes things like your muscle, how much water is in your muscles. So all of these things, like whether you have just had a meal, whether you haven't been to the loo, whether you have, all of these things are being measured. And depending on your scales, probably with a degree of inaccuracy anyway. But for so many of us, we are just wasting time, energy, really feeding this kind of cycle of kind of shame and wanting to hate ourselves into change, stepping on the scale and letting that determine our day. So unless you're one of those really rare people that don't have any kind of emotional relationship with the scales, then I would really like for the next 6 weeks, make a deal with yourself that you're not going to let it be a meaningful metric. And instead, you're going to pour that energy into the things that do really matter. Because if I did say to you, okay, so you don't want to be, I'm just going to pick a number out of the sky, you don't want to be 12 stone. But how about if I told you that you would look better at 12 stone? How about if I would tell you that, you know, when you don't have any clothes on, you're going to look like you want to look, but your weight's going to be 12 stone. You're going to be fitter. You're going to be healthier. You're going to have a healthier relationship with food, with your body. You're going to have more mental energy, more physical energy. You're going to be performing at your best with PBs on your runs, lifting up heavier weights. And I think for most people, I think we would actually take that. I think we would say, okay, so maybe it isn't your scale weight that's so important. Maybe we should start thinking about some performance goals, because ultimately most of us will have a set point weight, and you've got to have a little think. If it is ridiculously hard for you to get to this weight that you're wanting to achieve, it might just be that your lifestyle, your habits, like the way you're living your life at the moment, they don't really support you living at that body weight that you think you should be living at. And when it's that much hard work and it's taking up that much mental energy, it might be time to kind of let go of an arbitrary number. And if you think about someone you really love, if they were bouncing around 3 or 4 pounds, which probably they are, they just don't know about it, would it impact on what you thought of them, how you thought they looked? Would you kind of think less of them? And the honest answer is, of course you wouldn't. That would just be stupid. But we don't apply that same principle back to ourselves, and we're not treating ourselves with kindness. So if that does resonate with you, if you are still really tempted to stand on the scales, I want you to get really curious about why you have this number that you need to be at and what it is you think you will achieve. And I do think sometimes it's about getting back some control, and that we really worry like what would happen, and you can catastrophize. So like, what could possibly be the worst thing that happens if you stop tracking your scale weight? And I think for some people it might be, oh my gosh, my weight will just get out of control. And then think back in your life, maybe times when you didn't weigh yourself that much. You might have been living in a different size body, but you probably just had much more sort of intuitive approach to how you were fueling your body, how you were exercising it. Maybe it was a point in time when you had, you know, maybe lots going on in life and it just wasn't a priority. And I just want you to think about how it's serving you. And then I want you to find out if that belief is true. So actually writing down and journaling and going through the emotional eating podcasts and PDFs, I want you to do those journaling tasks, and I want you to start to get really curious about what you think using your scale weight is doing to help you find your happy. So whatever your goal is tracking your weight leading you there? Or actually, is that belief not true anymore? And then start to list down all of the reasons why tracking your weight is not helpful, and it's not even meaningful anymore with the goals that you have. Because I know most of you guys who are working with me, you want to feel better in your body. That is not going to be determined by a scale weight. I can tell you, as someone who has stood on the scales at, you know, like a really low weight that I always thought I'd be happy at, and the only thing I wanted that scale weight to be was lower. And I'm going to go on and talk a bit about dopamine. And I do think it can be quite an addictive pursuit, just standing on the scales, kind of getting that anticipatory rush of, you know, finding out how you did. It's a bit like wanting kind of loads of blood tests done, or, you know, to have your urine analyzed. Like, we like to have a metric, but I just want you to find something else to measure your success and your progression. I want you to think about how some clothes are fitting. I want you to be thinking about how your press-ups are progressing. I want you to be thinking about how your performance in something that is meaningful to you is changing. Maybe it's your running time. Like, start to focus on these things that aren't as flaky as scale weight, and just see what happens, and start to believe that you can start to trust your body again. You can start to treat it with more kindness. And it's very similar when it comes to tracking every morsel of food that crosses your lips. And I know I've directed a few of you to the podcast that is My Fitness Pal Making You Hungry. And some people, it's the same rare people that can stand on the scales. Those same rare people, they can also use My Fitness Pal without any issue. But for loads of us, we haven't done the deep work on our relationship with our bodies and with food. And again, we kind of outsource our intuition about how we'd like to be eating to something like MyFitnessPal. And I'm not saying it doesn't have a place for some people. It works brilliantly. There's been some men that I've coached before, and the only thing that was stopping them from getting into the body composition of their dreams was a lack of knowledge. They just had no idea about energy or energy balance or what energy existed in different types of food. With the women I coach, I don't think that is really an issue. And I think most of us know exactly how much energy exists in certain foods to the point where we're too hyper aware and we can kind of calculate calories just with like an eyeball of a plate. And the problem with that can be that you're always thinking that you are restricting yourself. You're always subconsciously telling yourself that you're not okay as you are and you do need fixing and you need to eat less and you kind of deserve to eat less because you need to exist in a smaller body. And that's why for the next 6 weeks, I would like you to really park your tracking of calories to one side. If you start to notice yourself sort of tracking the calories, just even with your eyeballs, I want you to kind of set yourself a challenge to stop, to kind of zoom out and think about adding something to your plate. So often when we're wanting to kind of shrink our bodies, I do believe it comes from this place of feeling like a lack of control, a lack of autonomy, sort of wanting to live outside of our bodies because it's easier than living inside of them. So we just start to control. And the problem being is the more we are rigid and the more controlled we can be, often the less happy we are. And then you can always get that feeling that you are just jumping on and off the wagon, because as soon as one little thing goes slightly awry, you feel lost, you feel like you may as well start again, you feel like you may as well, you know, push the fuck it button and start again another day or look for a more directive diet rather than kind of doing this inside work. So if you do notice that little voice kind of telling you, oh, you better, you know, put that meal into My Fitness Pal because I can't quite work out the calories, actually stop yourself, see it as kind of a bit of a red sign that you need to kind of maybe double down on looking after yourself better. Immediately think about your plates of food that you're going to be having next and think about how you can improve them. How can you give them like more superpowers? How can you nourish this awesome body that you're wanting to look after and future-proof? So just trying to flip that mentality, because it can be useful for a few people to go crazy on MyFitnessPal. But if you're someone who's relied on that tool for a really, really long time, you need to step away and you need to start working on your relationship with your body image. You need to start working on your relationship with food. Because it's a little bit like using a sat nav for a journey that you do every day. It's fine to use a sat nav maybe the first or second or third time you go on that journey, but ultimately you probably don't want to be the person who needs to put it on to do that same journey every single day. So you have to start going on this other journey of starting to trust yourself, starting to listen into your hunger and fullness cues, starting to sort of trust that you won't suddenly go completely off the rails if you don't scan a barcode before eating, and actually just start to kind of get curious about what kind of pattern of eating fills you up, what satisfies you, what makes you feel like you can perform optimally, that gives you energy. All of you guys have got crazy busy lives, like juggling family and work and just life stuff. So if you're then constantly trying to be in quite a significant sort of deficit in energy, it's not going to be helping you build this kind of strong metabolic body, and it's going to keep you in that diet trap. So I need you to take a break from that. I need you to kind of work on those fundamental things of body acceptance and neutrality and feeling like foods don't have moral judgments attached to them. So there isn't any good, there isn't any bad, there is just food. And it starts to give you back that autonomy to be able to make choices that do line up with your goals, not because you shouldn't have something. You can have anything you want, but it might be that you choose not to have it because it doesn't line up with your goal and you want to start voting for being the type of person who's got their health-seeking eyes in, who's kind of looking for the lean sources of protein and the vegetables, not because you want to diminish yourself and live in the smallest body humanly possible, but because you want to future-proof yourself. You've got a goal around getting stronger. You've got a goal around feeling nourished. So that is my challenge for you. Put the trackers away, unless you can message me and say, Katie, hand on heart, I have zero issue with standing on the scales. And my fitness pal never makes me feel hungry, because actually there's a degree of inaccuracy in that too. So when I use the plate method with you guys, it's trying to change your mindset. It's trying to get you into kind of an abundance mindset rather than a restrictive mindset. The magic is still going to be happening, I can promise you. If you haven't had a stable foundation of nourishment, training, and movement before, you don't even know where your body's going to work out in the wash, but you have to make sure that you're going to want to look after this body. So developing a set of really enjoyable habits and behaviors, setting yourself up with a lifestyle that you enjoy repeating, your body, your happy body, your happy place, your kind of set point weight is going to be working itself out in the background. And I want you to go on that journey. I want you to trust the process. And I have one-to-one clients too, who've been having some astonishing results. And at no point did they go on the scales. And at no point have I asked them to track their calories. But instead, we have looked at what they need more of in their diet, more variety, more protein, more satisfaction. And it is like magic, but some of those undesirable habits that they talked about before, like, you know, feeling like they needed these sugary pick-me-ups mid-afternoon and the evening eating without attending to it. So without drawing attention, without really kind of focusing or having to stick notes on the fridge or, you know, kind of banning foods from the house. We've just actually been so occupied with making sure that the meals are more satisfying, more nourishing, that there's higher levels of protein existing in the diet, that there's more variety with fruit and veg, that there's more shizzle, there's more care, there's more love, that the undesirable behaviors, they never needed focusing on because they were never really the problem. They were just a symptom of the fact that we weren't looking after ourselves properly. And I just want you to know that this is going to be a much shorter route for you finding your happy balance with it all. So you're going to have to trust me, but I would love it if you could step away from the scales, step away from my fitness pal, and just find and get curious about how it might look, how you might design your blueprint for living without those things to sort of externally outsource and validate you to whether you're doing well or not doing well. If you're using that habit tracker and you are ticking off those habits, not perfectly, but most of the time, consistently, then everything else will be taking care of itself. And you just need to start to trust that process, because there is absolutely, there's no wagon here that you even can fall off, even if you wanted to. So you can, again, park that idea of being on or off this lifestyle change. And then I had a really good question, which I'm going to obviously have to find now because I've written it down on one of my boards. And this question was about why, when I find a pattern of kind of looking after myself that I really enjoy and I start feeling better, do I then sort of stop wanting to do it? And I'm reading a very good book about the neurotransmitter dopamine. And I think for so many of us listening, it would resonate on so many different levels. And dopamine is a neurotransmitter, and it's hardwired to, for us to sort of, and we're hardwired to seek out behaviors that release dopamine. So we really love dopamine, and it's not the pleasure neurotransmitter. It's really more about getting us seeking things. And in this book, they talk about things that are in the here and now. So things that, if you were literally standing, things you can touch, things that are in your space is a bit like kind of looking down, and they're kind of your here and now things. And then anything else that's outside of your reach, and they talk about kind of, so if you think about looking up, that's where you're going to start to engage with the neurotransmitter dopamine. And it's really about desiring what you don't have yet. And that might be physical things. So it might be that donut in the shop. It might be knowledge that you don't have. It might be love, and it might be power. So it's something that you don't currently have in your grasp. So you get this rush of dopamine when you start to reach for things that aren't currently kind of belonging in your here and now. And I thought that really, it was tied in really well with that question, because when you start on a lifestyle change or a diet or a new training program, you are going to be getting that rush of dopamine because you are looking up. You are kind of dreaming, aspiring, thinking about how it's going to be to have this new set of habits and behaviors, the impact it's going to have on your lifestyle, this kind of imagined future. So it's not real. What happens then is obviously you start to live this reality. You start to be someone who is nourishing themselves better, who is starting to train more regularly. So you're not seeking it out anymore. So you're not getting that same rush of dopamine for this kind of imagined version of you, because actually that imagined version of you now is a reality. And it might be at this point in previous diets or lifestyle changes that you've gone on before, that you start to look for something else, because we are hardwired to want that kind of new burst or release of dopamine, to sort of seek out something else. And you 100% just need to kind of be aware of that, because dopamine's really helpful, but it can also be super unhelpful. It can be the reason that after like 12 to 18 months, people who've been madly in love sort of stop being in love, because again, that kind of dopamine isn't being released in the same way, because that person kind of starts belonging to you, start to get very settled into the relationship. And in this book, they talk about all sorts of roles that dopamine plays in love and addiction and just basically human behavior. But knowing that your brain really likes dopamine and it likes seeking things that aren't in its grasp is really useful if you're thinking about it in relation to kind of lifestyle and getting yourself in, you know, the best shape possible. And it can be really nice then to think of things like performance goals, or set yourself little tasks that you can tick off. And using things like the habit tracker as well is going to give you that kind of reward system and that reward pathway. So kind of seeking something you haven't done and then having that little bit of feedback that it has been completed. So kind of harnessing the power of dopamine, but also realizing it might be when things start to normalize, when things do start to become kind of your blueprint, that they might not feel as glamorous as they did when these habits didn't belong to you. So you don't really want to be living in a world where you're just relying on those circuits. And you also want to be starting to appreciate the here and the now. And that is 100% where the journaling activities are going to come in. So really appreciating what your body's doing now for you that maybe it couldn't do before, or appreciating the mindset changes that you're having. Really kind of appreciating how your strength and performance is improving, what the impact of engaging in more optimal nourishment and how that's impacting on different areas of your life. So you can start to exist more in the here and now and encourage those habits to bed in and encourage those seedlings to sprout. And if you notice that desire, and we all know, you know, I'm terrible. I mean, even the way you probably like search around your phone and you kind of go to different apps to get that hit. And it is that anticipation that is the where you get that release of dopamine. So it's not actually about getting the reward. Dopamine actually doesn't like it when you know that you're going to 100% get rewarded for the behavior. So anyway, I'll have to share the details of the book, but they talk about rats. And if the rats press a like little lever, they get a treat, but they soon stopped getting that dopamine release every time they hit a lever, if the lever always produced the treat. When the lever only produced the treat 25% of the time, the dopamine remained. And you can apply this to all sorts of things. So maybe your phone use, maybe Maybe like if you are, I don't know, playing on a game like Candy Crush or something, or you go to a slot machine, like all of these things know about human behavior and they know what it takes to keep you engaged. So knowing that, you just need to apply those same principles. So really kind of harness the power of it, but also try and remember about using the things that are going to keep you more grounded in the here and now. And definitely practices like yoga or things where you have to kind of step into your body and start to love and appreciate it just as it is right now is also really powerful. Just going to have a little look, but I think that is probably all the wisdom I wanted to share with you on this lovely Friday. But I do just want to say thank you guys for being here. Thank you for really, really good questions this week. If there is ever any topics that you would like discussed in further detail, let me know. I am building the members area and I'm wanting to drop in more webinars. So if there are topics that are keeping you stuck, you can all personally message me on the app. Or you can reach out on like Instagram if there's something you would like to see in our members space. And apart from that, guys, have lovely, lovely weekends. I reckon I like to hear about how many steps it takes for you guys to listen to a whole podcast. But yeah, stay curious, stay compassionate, and just keep nudging in that direction you've chosen for yourself because you're doing awesome.